hopefully that snow will bring it back to life. You go back to when Hubble was made, and when 1990 was launched. And it was launched with a 386 machine, and then one of the spacewalks, they've done five service missions to Hubble. One of those service missions, the earliest service mission. And they upgraded. I remember they said, oh, we went to a 486, and everybody was wondering, when are we going to get a Pentium on that? And then, naturally, since then, they've gone. The earlier computers have now failed, and there's no way to go there right now and replace it. So the last service mission was 2009. They hope to get around 7 years out of it in 2009. Here we are in 2021, it's still going pretty strong. It's got some issues, gyro problems, and it's doing okay. And I think they're going to get this one computer issue worked on. They plan on bringing up the secondary computer, and then I think they're going to see if they can, do something with the memory. I think they have a problem with the memory. I think they maybe do something with that, and eventually, hopefully, bring that one back online again. It was like to stay on the primary instead of the backup. After the backup, you don't have another backup. Any comments, WS to me. Next week we can talk about the Chinese launch. They now have three people on board the space station, their space station. We are now a total of 10 human beings flying around in space. So, getting crowded up there. And they'll be on their space station for 3 months, and then eventually, after 3 months, they'll have another crew. Three go up, and they'll have rotations every 6 months. So, from now on, we'll have, up to 10 people or more in space. For instance, when we do a crew return, and I think a few months from now, the next crew going up is October. I'll have to check. But anyway, the next crew going up will be on a Dragon vehicle. And you'll have four people going up. So you'll have, maybe 14 people in space at one time. And then they'll stay about a week or two, and then the other crew comes back. And that's presently the system that they're doing. So if we need a lot more people in that, we're just going to need more space stations. I'm getting to the end of the time, so I'll just end this portion of the TechNet. This has been WS2N for this BaseNet report. We're on a Sunday night TechNet. I'm going to turn it back to Roy. We'll be on tomorrow night on the Club InfoNet, which is on these repeaters. And the good thing is you don't have to be a member to check in. You can hear what Limarker is doing. And, field day and everything coming up. Roy, over to you, AC2GS. This is WS2N.
Thank you very much, Paul, for the SpaceNet report, for all that you do. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who participated tonight. Made it a very, very lively technical net, so I'm very thankful for that. And as always, want to remind people, if you would like to contact me via email address, is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you want to look at the link page, a lot of interesting articles. I added a few more. There's Jerry Ellsworth's thing about magnetic loops. There's at least two calculators of RF exposure. So you can find all of those links at my link page, which is roy.ac2gs.com. And as always, I stream the Limark WCLV. You can get it on the internet by typing in your browser, techman.ac2gs.com. Always want to remind people to check out Mike AC2NJI's website, where he archives the technical net that goes as far back as December 2006. They are his website is amateurradio.tv. Okay. So, once again, thanks to everyone. As Dick would often end his session, please be kind to each other. This is good advice any old day. It's particularly important the last year and a half. We're coming hopefully to the end of the tunnel, and things will just get better. So please be safe, be smart, and be kind to each other. That's it. I hope you'll all be back here next Sunday night. I still have a few little puzzlers to save up because things are so busy. So please join me next Sunday night. One of them is going to be space-related, so maybe even Paul will play the game. So wish everyone a safe week, a happy week. Wish all the fathers out there, great Father's Day. This is AC CTS. The TechNet is formally closed, and I am formally clear.
dark info net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
For me, I got a few errands to run today. And this week is visiting MSK for my honey, and a whole bunch of testing going on. And so I got to plan my week strategically and take care of that with her. There's a couple of days of that involved. Anyhow, I'm going to pause for a second, Jeff, because somebody else did come back to you before I came in to say hello. KD2FIU.
I thought it was JR, but I wasn't sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was me at the main location.
Right. How you doing, JR?
Got a quarter wave on the roof because if I use a good gain antenna just for 2 meters, I can't get the fire frequency on UHF. So heading out to Ronkonkoma to a Bergerwald supply store, and my regular supply store stopped carrying a glass break detector for windows. So, well, I don't know why, but you know, I got to go out to Ronkonkoma to a separate alarm store, W4NY.
Okay, you gotta go where you gotta go, you know, whoever's got the product. Understandable.
Eh, no problem.
Just, making my way from point A to point B, and, I'll give it over to George.
And good morning, JR. George, KD2FIU. Jeff, did you barbecue yesterday, or how did you, feel all of these children that you have in this multi-generation?
Well, it wasn't too difficult. It wasn't too difficult. The kids ordered the pizza. And everybody ate pizza except the baby, because the baby's not on real food yet. So, yeah, that was it. Wasn't bad.
We were there with
three of my four kids and three of my four grandchildren, because one of them was ill. And, no big deal, really, just stayed home with his mom. And, my in-laws were there. My son's, I guess, in-laws, you know. So, we had a nice time. It was a nice small crowd. And, we celebrated, the occasion. I loved it because I love being with family. JR?
Yeah, since I retired like 10 years ago, I don't get 5 o'clock in the morning anymore. So, you know, you heard Rich BPN and not quite normal what they're doing these days and how they are.
No, what are they doing?
That was my question, because I'm not on the morning show anymore. I don't even know if there's a morning show anymore. You know, they switched over to DMR. Well, first, years ago, like 15 years ago or whatever, you know, everybody was going to 220, and then it was a big flop, and then we were back here 2 meters, and then the guys went to DMR, and, you know, I did get a DMR radio. Motorola, but I never put it in the car. So, like, out of touch with those guys, and I'm just wondering if you knew if they retired or, you know, how they were doing in general. W4NY.
You gotta answer your phone. Alright. Well, Steve retired. Richie still works, but I think he's on furlough, if I'm not mistaken. And, kind of like that. We all went to DMR to get away from N2EO, because he was like a living pain in the butt. And he's not living anymore, so somebody gave him a DMR code plug. I heard it was you. And we just threw him off the band.
Oh, well, that was published. That was public information. I didn't give him anything secret that wasn't published on the internet. Actually, I saw something online that Richie called for help, and whoever it was, I don't know, but different state or country, and they sent, you know, they called somehow, they got 911, went to his house, and then he was gone. So, open to George.
Yeah, J.R., he was not sounding good at all. I heard him, I think, on the 805 repeater. I was talking to him, and the deep guttural breakup of his voice, it was just, it sounded really bad, but anyhow. I've been listening to a lot of reports on the radio regarding not only the physical health of people, but the mental changes that have been occurring because of the pandemic and the recovery so far, the degree of recovery from the pandemic. And more people considering retirement was one of them. And Jeff, good for you. Very different from last year's experience with the Father's Day there. This is KD2FIU. I'll be on the site, guys, and I'm just here listening. I'm trying to actually make a grocery list to get out to shopping for some stuff to stuff in the kitchen. Stuff. KD2FIU on the site.
Hey, 73 George, have a good one. Enjoy your seedbed shopping. And I had a Father's Day last year too, but we kept it really small. Anyway, that was interesting. And what's going on with people with the pandemic? Retiring is good. I retired last year, and not that I had to. I could still work. I have no problem with that. But I decided to retire because there was no work, and I made it. Made it the way it should have been. So, not a big deal. And, let's see, gotta make a turn over here. What they do, block off the road? Man, they changed all kinds of things over here. They changed the turn lane. It's gone. Interesting. I guess they're, making some changes. JR?
Oh, yeah, I just had a major panic moment. I got on the LIE or whatever, you know, and it showed the lane closed ahead. It was, like, closed right in front of me and forced me into the traffic lane. Luckily, there was nobody there, otherwise, you know, I came around at a blind corner, and bam, the lane was closed and forced you into a traffic lane. So, I was luckily, you know, I got my COVID shots January and February because I'm still with the fire department upstate and, you know, haven't fought any fires really in quite some time. I've been on the fire police squad for probably close to 30 years. You know, but, you know, if they are, you know, the whole crew is out doing on a big fire scene, they have us old guys stand by at the firehouse, and if a fire call comes up, we have to go, you know, but we would fight the fire from the outside until, you know, other mutual aid companies from other towns finally show up. So, luckily I did have those COVID shots because 2 months ago, my friend and his wife came down with COVID visiting the doctor. She just had major surgery. And then she gave it to everybody in the house, all six kids. And the husband, they had it, didn't know it, and I was like right in his face talking to him. Luckily, I had that shot, and he About a week later, he wound up in a hospital with 6 blood clots in his lungs.
My God. Sounds crazy. So I'm assuming he didn't make it. I'm sure the kids overcame. I don't know. I guess the wife overcame. She gave it to everybody else. All right. Very good. Well, I got my COVID shots in January and February also. We called it in and we were able to get appointments. So my wife went the first day it was available. I went the second day it was available. And the corresponding month later, we did the same. And I'm glad we got them, and I'm glad it's over with, and so on and so forth. There's still some people with it out there, but it's not, it's nowhere near what it was. Thank God for that. That was really scary stuff. Anyway, let's see, this is N2ION Mobile, and I got another, probably another 4 or 5 minutes.
KC2WBH.
Yeah, BH, go ahead and hand it over to Jeff ION.
Hello, KC2WBH. Mr. Jeffrey, the parking lot master. How are you? It's Richie. Richie with the trailer.
Hey, Richie with the trailer. What's going on? All's good. All's good. Just making my way someplace. JR?
Oh, yeah. I'm LIE. You know, doing like 20 miles an hour by the Cross Island head. So, I'll let you chat with the other guy. Of course, you said you'll be leaving us in 2 minutes. W4NYF.
All right. W4NYF. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. KC2WBH. Yeah, Jeff, we are headed east, too. We're on the northern state. Nice ginger stroll in my work car. And, finally got my radio put in, and now we're here and we're doing it. So, how was everybody's Father's Day? It sounded like it was pretty good. I've been on about 5-6 minutes, and I heard the tail end of it.
Well, my Father's Day was wonderful. Had a nice family day. Good stuff. And got to spend time with the grandkids and the kids and the in-laws through marriage. And, kind of like that. So I enjoyed it, JR.
Yeah, so, I don't know, you know, what frequency, you know, is Rich at BBN? I should give him a call. Is he on DMR in the morning, or what? I'm trying to think. I do have a DMR walkie-talkie. You know, I sold one to Richie's friend, and got a Motorola, but I think that's upstate, you know, because people upstate went to DMR and I never hear anybody on. So, and finally, I got an extra person in the car, so I get to go on to the HOV lane. Well, we're past 10 o'clock, so it didn't matter anyway. So, other station, I forgot you call your handle there. CB. I was explaining the length of antennas to somebody, and I asked them, do you remember that 8-foot, whatever long CB antenna from years ago? And I showed them the comparison to a 2-meter, quarter wave.
Probably that 108-inch steel whip. Yep, N2PBN, that's Richie, need 2PB now. I haven't spoken to him in ages. Oh, Mr. Jeff. It's always a fun day, overcast, and headed into Massapequa.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Well, you know, I think Rich is on furlough, so I don't hear him on in the morning. You might want to give him a yell. We'll
call him on DMR. He might be listening.
One never knows, do one.
All right, I'm where I gotta be.
I'm gonna say ciao for now, and wish you guys a good day. This is N2ION. I'm here. I'm clear.
73, Jeff.
73, take care. Go ahead.
So, you're on the parkway. I'm on the LA. I'm heading out on Concoma to get a, you know, my Ademco, now ADI, alarm supply place. Carry these little glass break detectors by Central. And for some reason, like, they don't carry them anymore. And it must be they stopped carrying them so long ago, the salesman didn't even know what he was talking about. So I ordered one USP version, which has mercury in it, you know. When the glass breaks, it drops and sets the alarm off. And I was stunned that what the mercury is illegal in New York. So, heading out to this other place to see, you know, supposedly they have these devices to the new seller for the thing I'm looking for.
I would ask, did the old L&L Electronics used to carry that kind of stuff?
I only dealt with basically Ademco since 1970. You know, it's now ADI Global. It may have been gobbled up by Honeywell. Their mainline products are Honeywell. You know, and back in 1970, in order to obtain an account with them, you had to buy 6 complete alarm systems. And the alarm box was this metal box with a milliampere gauge, 2 relays inside. One was a very high resistance relay that you put 4 of these very tall, well, tall, like a big tall beer can with terminals on the top, and you would put them in series. And you would get 6 volts out of the 4 of them. And you would use that to be your closed circuit going through that little relay with a high ohms, so you didn't draw any amps. And you know, when that dropped, that triggered the other relay, which rang the bell. So that's how far I go back with that stuff.
Old school, original alarms, okay? Have you moved into modern technology with the cameras yet?
Yeah. I did my house. You know, this was like a... it was even less of a sideline. I would just do the alarms for, like, friends, and, you know, and myself. And, of course, you know, family members know you as you. They really don't know you as the professional mechanic, so they don't trust you to do anything. So, but 1970s, I built Chinese restaurants. I went to school for electric at Edison High School, but I had... Chinese restaurants, and I learned every trade there was, heating and air conditioning, plumbing, and carpentry, and everything. We would take an empty store and make it into a Chinese restaurant. And then I was an EPA inspector for 2 years, and then I got a job with the Port Authority doing heating and air conditioning for like 13 years. I went to the World Trade Center, a supervisor of all the trades for a couple of years after the 93 bombing, and then I went to Kennedy Airport, George Washington Bridge, and LaGuardia doing electrical, and that was probably really opened my eyes up to areas in electrical that no electrician will probably ever see.
Ah, sounds like you did it all. Sounds like you did it all. Alright, I'm almost at my destination, so I'll say 7-3 for now. Jay Artis, Richie, KC2WTH. We'll pick it up again when I jump back in.
Yeah, that's WNYF. That was a former call station, New York City Fire Department TV station. They used to broadcast training videos every week for the firemen to keep up to date. So, my dad was a lieutenant. I've been a volunteer 50 years. So, 73 is having a safe week. W4NYF.
Fly Mark Antoinette tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
Yeah, your radio's working quite nice. I'm curious, what model is it? I'd like to look that up. That's the first I've seen on a VHF band of a military radio. Very nice. I'm working an ICOM 7, no, I'm sorry, an ICOM 2300H on a J-pole portable antenna. I just changed it from 5 watts to, I think I'm 25 right now.
Okay. Well, by the way, you sound very good here coming through the machine. I doubt whether you'd ever hear this something like this on 2 meters again, unless it's this one. This is cold and it's made. This is made by Howland Crafters in the 1960s. The model number is an FM-1B, and it's better known as the Village Radio. What it is the CIA ordered these and gave them out during the Vietnam War to South Vietnamese people, and the idea was, located in Viet Cong. You would call it in. Originally, it had a self-destruct switch on it, which disabled the radio. It fell into the Viet Cong, but they probably could have fixed it anyway if they had wanted to. But that was the idea. It's sort of, you look it up. You might find it on the internet. It sort of looks like, you ever seen those World War II movies, the walkie-talkies, the big antennas. That's kind of what it looks like.
What a really cool piece of history. That's great. It probably was repurposed old technology from an earlier generation. What was its natural frequency range?
Good question. I don't remember. It was somewhere near, obviously it's a VHF transceiver. It's obviously FM. It was somewhere near the 2 meter band. I think either just below or just above the 2 meter band, and it was considered as originally. Well, they some of them have the dial marking. Not that there are too many dials on it. But in Vietnamese, this one has it actually in English. It's considered a tactical radio. I also have a more powerful base station. I forgot the name. That's a much better radio, and I use that one for the project. I'm very interested in doing that. It's a vintage radio.
Roger, that's really great. I've been resisting it. It hasn't appealed to me, but I'm trying to stick with the more modern stuff for the moment so I can get up to speed with learning the equipment. There's a whole other element of to the whole thing with the old stuff, but I appreciate its use very much.
Okay, yeah. I'm definitely old school. I just like at the age of 15, so back then, sort of things went through to me, and then life kind of got in the way, and I also enjoyed the army, marriage, and children, and so I completely forgot about ham radio for 40 years, and then somehow got back into it, and quit my life. And so I had to start all over again, which I think is the most important. But here I am, and talking to you.
That's a great story. I'm new to this hobby, only a couple months into it. After a long hiatus from radio, at least for amateur, or not specifically ham, but I did some CB stuff when I was in my teens in the 80s, early 80s, and haven't been around radio in 30, 40 years, and now I'm back into this and jump right into a general license and playing around with HF. And so it's a different course, but I appreciate where you came from.
Well, you see, your story is not that much different, actually, from mine. I don't know for how many other people, but we need to know this control. At least that's my thinking.
interesting stuff. So you actually run a net on 2 meters. Which one is that?
Well, not surprisingly, it's called the dinosaur net. Thursday night at 7 p.m. On a frequency of 145.000. So you remember the frequency, 145.000. Some of the people have modern equipment that doesn't get a lot of checking, but it does have AN on it. So not everybody something from the early 1960s. The idea is just to operate with amplitude modulation.
Right next to the radio I'm talking on now is an ICOM 706, which I believe work AM on 2 meters. Listen for you.
Great. Yeah, so I hope you'll I hope you'll check in again. It's Thursday night, 7 p.m. 145.000. We're close to it. Just sometimes get a station that's crystal control. It doesn't have a lock for exactly 145, but through the magic of RIT, down a couple of nights. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for the test. This is really nice of you, and it's very nice making your acquaintance, and hope to hear you again.
Roger, Jeff, 7-3. Give me a call once again so I can write it down.
Okay, in fact, I'll ask you the same favor. It's Whiskey Alpha 2, Romeo Alpha Sierra, or Radio Amateur Station. And you're calling in with KD2. You to get Jim?
Victor, Hotel Delta.
Beautiful. This time I actually wrote it down. Jim, thank you so much. Very nice making your acquaintance. Hope to hear you again. You sound pretty good on this Vietnam War relic. 73.
73, Jeff. KD2 VHD. Clear.
Flymark Info Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
Calling Richie, K2KNB. Jim, KD2BHD. You on the repeater this afternoon?
W2BL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
Thank you. Control.